There's a woman who was selling ribbons. A man came and grabbed one from her. She demanded it be returned. He said to her, if I give it back to you, you become Mekadesh to me. She took it and didn't say anything. Rav Nachman said, the woman can say, yes, I took it, but I took something that is mine, and therefore not to make it as a Kedushin. Rav asked Rav Nachman, Abraita says, if a man grabs a seller from a woman and uses it to be Mekadeshes, to make her Mekadeshes to him, it's a valid Kedushin. Whereas the Abraita is discussing where they had previously agreed to get married. In fact, we see that the Abraita must be talking about this case, because if not, it contradicts another Abraita, because there's another Abraita that says that if a man owes a woman money and is about to pay her back and then changes his mind and says, take this money as Kedushin, the Abraita is explained to say that if she takes it and remains quiet, the Kedushin is not valid. Presumably, the reason for this would be because she can say, I took it, but I took something which is mine. Now, this contradicts the earlier Abraita, which says that when he grabs it from her and gives it back to her, the Kedushin is valid. So we have to say that the first bride is discussing where they had already agreed to get married, and the second bride is discussing where they had not agreed for that to happen. The Gemara says that when Rav Asi passed away, the Rabbanan got together to gather his various teachings. So Rav Yaakov was the first to speak, and he said that Rav Asi said in the name of Rav Mani, just as a woman cannot be acquired with less than a pruta, so too real estate cannot be acquired with less than a pruta. The Rabbanan asked him, your bride says that although a woman cannot be acquired with less than a pruta, real estate can be acquired with less than a pruta. Rav Yaakov answered, the bride is referring to Kinyan Chalipin, whereas Rav Asi is referring to Kinyan Kesef. They then continued and said regarding the statement of Yehuda and Shmuel that anyone who was not well versed in the halachas of Gittin and Kedushin should not have anything to do with them. Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan said that if an unqualified person does so, he's worse to the world than the generation of the Mabul. He dashed to the pasuk to teach the people who caused Mamzerim to be brought into the world bring about the destruction of the entire world, including all animals, birds, and fish. During the Mabul, the fish were not killed. We see the people that bring Mamzerim into the world are worse than the people by the Mabul. They then said the next. A Mishnah said that if a woman gave birth and brought her obligatory chatas and then died, her Yarshin must bring her obligatory oila for her. Rabbi Yehuda Neim Shmuel said that's only if she had separated the oila before she died. From here we see that Shmuel holds that the property of a person who has passed away is not obligated to pay his debts on a deraisadika level. Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yechanan said that the Yarshin must bring the oila even if she did not separate it while she was alive, and we see that Rabbi Yechanan must hold that the property of a person who passed away is obligated to pay his debts on a deraisadika level. Fact no, but they have already argued on this very subject elsewhere, so why did they argue about it again over here? Because we learned that Rav and Shmuel say that a verbal loan may not be collected from the yarshim of the debtor's estate or from the purchase fields of the estate, whereas Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish say that it may be collected from them. So you see they argue about it over there. The Gemara said, if we would only have this machlokes mentioned right, we just said now, we would say it's only over there that Shmuel says it can't be collected from the estate because it's not for an obligation written in the Torah. But in the case of the carbon, since it comes from an obligation written in the Torah, and so maybe even he would agree that it may be collected from the Yarshim. And if we would only have machlokes regarding the carbon, we would say it's only over there. Rabbi Yechanan says it's collected from the Yarshim because it stems from an obligation written in the Torah, but in the other case, maybe he'd agree with Shmuel. That's why both cases are needed. Papa Paskins, that a verbal loan may be collected from the Yarshim because the property of a person who has passed away is obligated to pay his debts on a deraisadika level, but not from the purchase fields because this debt is not publicly known and the purchasers therefore had no chance to protect themselves. The Mishnah had said, "V'koynes atzma beget uvemitzas habal." In fact, tomorrow we know that a get makes her mutter to marry other men, based on the pasuk of the cost of loss of increases. How do we know that death of the husband makes her mutter as well? The Mishnah says, based on logic, he is the one who made her also to other men. So when he dies and their relationship ends, she becomes mutter. In fact, tomorrow with regard to Aradius, although he makes them also to her, his death does not make her mutter to them. So rather, we must say that since the Torah says that a yavama is also to marry other men, it must be that a regular widow may marry other men. In fact, maybe a yavama is at least mutter to the of them, but any other widow was actually also to everyone. So rather, we have to say that since the Torah said that a widow was also to marry Kohen Gadol, it must mean that she may marry all other men. Maybe the Torah means to say that she's also to Kohen Gadol with a lav and is also to all other men with a more lenient assay. And we can say that the death of the husband achieves to remove the chi of Misa from her marrying someone else and puts it at an assay level. Rather, we learn from a pasuk that a widow may marry other men, because the pasuk says that a newly married man does not go out to war. He says, lest he die at war and another man, take his wife as a wife. So you see, obviously, an almana, it can go ahead and marry another husband. Rav Shisha Breder of EDS, maybe Acher refers to a Yavam, so it's not just, it doesn't mean an Almanah can marry any man. Rav Ashi said, first of all, a Yavam is not referred to as Acher. Second of all, the Pasuk says, if the second husband hates her and he writes a get for her, or if the second husband dies, so you see, thereby making a Hekesh from the husband's death to a get, and teaching that just as a get makes her completely mutter to marry other men, the death of the husband makes her mutter to marry other men as well. The Mishnah then said, V'hayavama nikneis bebia v'chula. How do we know that yavama is acquired with bia? The Gemara says, the pasuk says, yavama yavay leo l'kach aloi li'isha. In fact, maybe the pasuk means that she is treated as a wife in all respects and therefore teaches that kesef and shtar can be used to acquire her as well. The Gemara says, that can't be because the Braisa says that the word v'yibma teaches that only bia can be used and not kesef and shtar. In fact, the Gemara, maybe v'yibma teaches that it can be done against her will and is therefore not available to teach that only bia can be used to acquire her. The Gemara says, the pasuk could have written v'yibem and instead writes v'yibma. So this allows for two drushes to be made from this word.